Miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
We continue ESPN 1000 just after 11 o'clock in the great city of Chicago with Danny Zetterman and Christopher Bleck. I'm David Kaplan. 3 hours of Jay Hood tonight, 7 until 10, and Classic Masters Radio, 2 to 6, Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon on what would have been the final two rounds of the 2020 Masters, which has now been moved to the week of November 9 through 15. So hopefully we are all back living our best lives, and that goes on, but that is when it has been moved to. 312-332-3776. So I have been saying for 5 months, Chris, back me up, for 5 months that the Bulls were going to make massive organizational change. And a lot of people did not believe that the Reinsdorfs would do this. And now it looks like they're closing in on who their next head of basketball operations will be. I believe that's going to be Arturis Karnisovas. He is the general manager of the Denver Nuggets. He can get out of his deal because he signed a multi-year extension last spring. He can get out of his deal because he's getting a promotion. He will go from general manager, where he's underneath a guy named Tim Connolly, and he will end up being the sole voice in terms of final authority. He'll be the Theo Epstein, so to speak, of the Chicago Bulls. And they are doing their interview with the Reinsdorfs today. He has had multiple conversations with people in the organization. So, you know, it's a fallacy that he hasn't had his interview, so to speak. He's had multiple discussions when the Bulls got permission. He has had multiple conversations with Bulls executives, and he will sit down on Zoom today, talk to the Reinsdorfs, and I believe he is the guy. And if they do indeed offer it, as I believe they will, and as Vincent Goodwill reported yesterday on Yahoo, Casey Johnson has been all over this as well, I believe that the 48-year-old former Lithuanian basketball star will come in here and completely clean house. John Paxson is going to have a job in this organization. He is. But he will have zero say on what goes on in basketball operations. He will work at the behest of whatever the new executive wants. And I believe, again, that will be Arturis Karnisovas, but there's the executive from the Utah Jazz that they talked to, and there are a number of names that they've had on their list. Some used it to get a better deal where they're at, as Vincent wrote, and really we're never going to be the guy anyway here, but we're able to get pay raises. And I think you'll see a new number two guy come in. That could be, and if it was my call, it would be Matt Lloyd, who's assistant general manager in Orlando. He's been there 9 years. He's considered a rising star in the game, but started his career 9 years ago with the Chicago Bulls. He's an awesome guy, and he's got an incredible work ethic, and he's got a really sharp eye for talent. I think Matt Lloyd would be a phenomenal number two guy. They'll bring in a new director of college scouting. They're going to overhaul the scouting and player development departments, and they're going to completely change the coaching staff. Jim Boylan's not coaching this team. He's not next year. Just not going to happen. So, when you hear all of that, are you, as a Bulls fan, excited? And let me throw this carrot out there. What if Arturis Karnisovas said, okay, I want to make sure we clear the air here because I want to hire Tom Thibodeau back as head coach? I'd do that in a second. Guy's a great basketball coach. Don't let him be the GM. Don't make him the team president. Just simply make him the head basketball coach, which he's amazing at. How would you feel? Or do you look and go, I'm back. back in. So that is my question to you. 312-332-3776. Danny boy, are you excited if at least the Karnisovas, let's say it's Matt Lloyd, overhaul scouting, overhaul player development, Garn Paxe have no say?
I'm just excited that the Bulls realize they need to make a drastic move and they're taking the steps to do it. I don't know enough about these guys to say, yes, it's the best move. I'm super excited about it. What I am excited about is the first part is admitting you have a problem, and the Bulls clearly are doing that right now. So for me as a Bulls fan, I'm excited about that. I think you saying bringing Tom Thibodeau back as a coach is interesting, because what we see a lot in professional sports is specifically basketball, they go from one style coach to the other. You know what I mean? They'll go from a Fred Hoiberg, who is a laid-back style coach, to a Jim Boylan, who's an in-your-face. And before Fred Hoiberg, who was it? It was Tom Thibodeau. So it's like a hard-ass in Thibs, a laid-back guy in Hoiberg, a hard-ass in Boylan. You're telling me, and a lot of these players did not love Jim Boylan and the way he approached the game of basketball, that it's going to be a good thing for the locker room to go from a hard-ass in Jim Boylan to a hard-ass in Tom Thibodeau? And even if Thibodeau's not making the, you know, not the president, not the GM making those moves, he's still running practice. He's still running these guys into the ground. We used to talk all the time about resting players in the fourth quarter and how Tom Thibodeau doesn't have the ability to do that. In this NBA with, you know, load management, is Tom Thibodeau really the right guy for this Bulls team that just went through the ringer with Jim Boylan?
I do think he would be amazing. Absolutely amazing to bring him back. Like, I think the casual fan, the ones that buy the tickets and demand that the TVs and the sports bars are tuned to the Bulls and patronize the sponsors when we all get our life back, I truly believe if you announced, hey, we've got a new front office team and Tom Thibodeau's the new head basketball coach, I think people would be excited.
I'm not, Cap, I don't care about, like, listen, I get it. The fans are important. I'm just talking strictly in the organization. What the organization's trying to do right now is win some basketball games and build a culture and start things from the ground up. Will those players who clearly did not like playing for Jim Boylan, you could see it on their face when he called a dopey timeout at the end of the game. You heard it when they interviewed Zach LaVine after games. We've read Joe Colley's story about how Lauri Markkanen wants a change or he might be out of here. Will these players want to go from a Jim Boylan to a Tom Thibodeau, and whoever's making the decision want to put them in that position again? Forget putting the TV on in bars. Forget that stuff. It's about winning basketball games.
Agreed, but that other stuff is all important.
You're the guy, king of talking the room, the room, the room. Does the room want another hard ass?
I don't care what the players want as long as you're bringing in the right coach who can help you win basketball games. Jim wasn't that guy. He was not. And players have loved playing for Tibbs. They have. And he's a hell of a basketball coach. And he made a lot of guys a lot of money because he knew how to develop them. So, no, I don't want some guy, oh, the players like him because he's softer and he's not hard on him. Look, again, if they bring a guy like Tibbs back, he's a proven winner. This guy wins. He was part of the Celtics staff. He was their defensive architect when they won a title. He had great success here. And then he and Gar got sideways, and for whatever reason, they could never get it fixed. I think Tom's a different guy today. I do. And I would bring him back in a freaking second. In a second. And then he and Karnisovas reportedly have a very good friendship and relationship. Man, if you're able to take and put this new voice in there and you support him with a handful of other hires, scouts, player development people, his right-hand guys, and you go, you know what? That's a really good reset button in the front office. And then you bring in a big-time professional coach. Yeah, I'm in. 312-332-3776. Corey is in Evergreen Park. Hey, Corey, welcome.
Cap, man, what's going on? Hey, it's Corey Polk, Evergreen Park, buddy.
How you doing, kid?
Hey, I'm doing great, man, trying to maintain. Real quick, the reason why the Sox and Bulls both suck because they got one thing in common. They have an owner that is too loyal. I want to strip the whole thing with the Bulls. Bye-bye Gar, bye-bye Pax, bye-bye Boylan. I don't even want to see Tibbs. Let's get rid of anyone who has a connection to Chicago so that we can get some new blood in here. I don't care about people being nice in the locker room or all that stuff. What are we running, a daycare center here? Give me somebody who can play ball, who can run this organization without being a friend, a cousin, or an uncle to Reinsdorf.
Okay. I disagree with you because I think loyalty is an amazing quality in a world where it's far too short in supply. That's A. B, I can just tell you, John Paxson was the guy who originally came up with this idea that we need to step back and you need to go get a new voice. He did. He went to Michael Reinsdorf. And appreciate your call, Corey. He went to Michael, and Michael and he then told Jerry. And I'm just telling you, all John Paxson wants, this is a fact, all he wants is for the Chicago Bulls to win. And he has told Jerry, if I have to leave the organization, period, out of there, for us to win, I'm willing to do that. I don't believe that'll happen. I do believe he'll be Jerry and Michael's consigliere, confidant, whatever it is, and then they will end up having a brand new front office, all of it, that will have complete and total autonomy, period. Let's go to Tom and Bartlett. Wait, let me break. We'll come right back and get to your calls. ESPN.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's 11:17 in the great city of Chicago. Danny, make sure our training staff has Black in optimum condition. At 11:35, he gets ready for the battle against Adam Abdallah.
Cap, when am I not in optimal condition?
I just want your, mind right, focused.
Is my mind right?
Get the shoulders loose and be ready to go.
Listen, my mind is never right. So for me to enter that space would be abnormal to how I live my life. So I think not being right might be the ideal, optimal way to win this contest. Listen, this is the way it shakes down. Either I'm going to know the answers or I'm not. I'm one of those type of people that if I stall, I don't know if I'll find that answer. I'm more of a, if I don't know it, I'm probably gonna say pass pretty quickly. So I think that's the strategy I'm going in with this. And I know Abdallah can hear me because he's in the station. So unfortunately, I'm tipping my hand at this. But that's the way I kind of play trivia, Cap.
The audience, Cap, believes that this is going to be a very tight game. Yesterday, I polled everybody. I asked them who was going to win, the number one seed Yurko or the number eight seed Cap. 78% of the audience was correct, saying Yurko was going to win. Today, I polled the audience and saying who was going to win, the number four seed Bleck, the number five seed Abdallah. Chris Bleck leads the way right now with only 52% of the vote to Abdallah's 48% of the vote. So the audience believes this is going to be a nail biter.
This is
going to
be close. It's going to be close.
And I will say, if I could, that this is a very, very fairly written game.
How many sports questions do we have? Because I think that's where I'll thrive, if possible.
Yeah, Abdallah doesn't really know sports, but he'll crush you.
Wow, you see, Cap's the one that said it.
But he'll crush you on the music.
It depends.
Well, see, here is something to pull back the curtain that is going to benefit Chris.
It depends.
This is going to benefit Chris a great deal today. Because Chris, who is my right-hand man 9 to noon every day, is going to be in the studio. Mm-hmm. And because Abdallah is also going to be in the studio, not only am I going to be reading and hosting the questions, I'm going to be running the board, playing the music, playing the sound effects. So there is not as much music today as there would be had I had Chris's assistance.
There is no way for Danny to line up the music questions like he usually does.
I can run the board,
No. It's not necessarily running it. There's no way for him to implement the music without me knowing what he's doing. So he's eliminated the amount of questions for the music. Like, throughout the day, I can see what is being put into our audio system throughout the entire day. And there's no way for Danny to prep. So, like, he's going to have to call up a song on YouTube and do it by the seat of his pants in live action.
Right.
While we're playing the game, because the other way would be tipping it to me, because I see all this stuff. Correct. So
me pulling this off at 11:35 is like the great Walenda brothers walking a tightrope.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
So, Cap, you think I'm going to beat Abdallah?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I think it really comes down to the sports questions. I can't see Danny's face right now. Do you think that there are going to be enough sports questions that I can...
Yes, it's a sports radio station.
I'm not going to tell you how many sports questions there are. There is one that I think you're both for sure going to get. There is one that I think you're for sure going to get. And there's one that I think neither of you are going to get. But if any of you get it, it's going to be you, Chris.
Any World War II trivia?
Damn, you got the whole topic.
90210. Are we going back to 90210? You got anything from there?
If it didn't take place between 95 and 01, it's not on this game.
Man, yeah, I'm so thrilled if I listed a random subject right now and it was a question that he was waiting to reveal. Any light bright questions? Remember light brights? Remember those?
I thought you guys would be
question about light bright?
Too young for the light bright.
I remember light bright. Yeah.
Right.
So my wife watched the whole Twitch broadcast last night. Like, she's at her computer till 11:30 last night doing work. And she's like, looks up from her computer. By the way, Danny, I outdid myself on dinner last night.
Would you pick up some Carson's ribs on the way home?
Yeah, no. No. And you can ask my wife. I've been cooking my
keister
off.
You can ask my wife, immediately I believe you're lying.
So I went and bought some Scottish salmon at the Boston Fish Market.
Was it wild caught, I hope?
I don't know.
If it wasn't, you just poisoned yourself. Go on, please.
So I put the salmon, I seasoned the salmon when I got home from radio. Had a little bit of garlic powder on it, some sea salt. You should only use sea salt, Danny, not iodized stuff. I used a little bit of crushed black pepper and a little bit of olive oil. Put that in the fridge. Let it marinate in there. And then I made a cream sauce with some heavy whipping cream, some butter, unsalted. I used two sumo oranges and a little orange white balsamic vinegar and a little bit of salt. I let it marinate or sit in the saucepan, heated it up, and I got some of the orange juice out of the oranges. Stirred it all up. I served her this amazingly juicy salmon with Brussels sprouts, cauliflower rice, and broccoli, an avocado cucumber tomato salad with olive oil and balsamic vinegar, and then I took this orange cream sauce and put it over the top of the salmon. She said, honest to God, it's one of the best things she's ever eaten.
Sounds delicious. How was your blood sugar after that?
Why would my blood sugar?
Sumo oranges have more sugar than a normal orange. Come on, Kaplan.
It was really good.
Sounds delicious.
It was really, really good. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones. And Tom is in Bartlett. He's been hanging in. Hey, Tom, what's up, Sparkles?
What's going on, guys? Love listening to you.
Appreciate you.
If the Bulls make these moves, is this going to make Lori happy and stay? And is it also going to bring him to an all-star level of play?
Look, I still believe, and I said this before they ever drafted him, he was one of my favorite prospects in that draft. I believe he will take the next step. I do. Look, Lowry's not going anywhere. They've got him for the next couple years. And from what I was told yesterday, Lowry doesn't want out. He just doesn't want to play for Jim Boylan. He wants to be used in a different way, not just standing out at the three-point line. They've got to get him more aggressive. He agrees. They got to get him on the block at times. They got to use him to be able to pick and pop and step out at the three-point line. He's got multiple skills at 7 feet tall. He's not just a perimeter shooter.
Thanks, guys.
I don't think he's going anywhere. We'll see. Thanks for the call, man. Stay safe and healthy out there. John in Rolling Meadows. Hey, John, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, I hope you're staying safe. Everybody seems to be in good shape there. Dave, I got a question for you. With this new GM coming in, do you think that he will look at the scouting troop and maybe change things up there a little bit? I'd like to see maybe White start next year at the point. He seems to energize the ball club a little bit. But my biggest concern is the draft. How they draft from here on in will have a lot to do with where they end up in the end. You know, they've got to really concentrate on the draft now, too.
Yeah, and appreciate your call, John. Look, they've done a reasonably good job picking where they've picked in the draft. That's just a fact. Look, I'm not a big Gar guy. I've said that a million times. He's made some solid picks now. Jimmy Butler was a really solid pick. Picking at 7, getting Markkanen, Kobe White, and Wendell Carter Jr. have all been solid picks. Zach LaVine is a very good player, but they have done an awful job in player development over the last several years since Tibbs left. Awful. They've done an awful job attracting free agents. That's just a fact, but the biggest indictment on the front office is they've done a terrible job hiring head coaches and then getting along with said head coaches. Whether it was not, you got to know. I remember I was just listening to somebody on ESPN who said Wayne Embry, who was one of the great executives in the history of the sport. Wayne Embry ran the Bucks and the Cavs and had a lot of success and said, when you get rid of the coach that you have, you already know who your next coach is. You don't go, yeah, we're going to interview 15 different guys. You already know, or you're not doing your job as the head of basketball operations. You interview Mike D'Antoni, and then he ends up turning the job down. You should have already known. Hey, Mike, what's it going to take? You're the guy. We want you here. He ends up coming in. He interviews. He doesn't want it. He does want it. And then he ends up turning it down and going to the Knicks, where he struggled. Now he's in Houston having success. Whoever it is that they bring in here, let him have whatever he needs to get the job done and get out of the way. Period. And that's how I think it's going to go. Lewis in Hyde Park. Hey, Lewis, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how you doing? You hanging in there?
Absolutely. Just grinding away. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, trying to keep safe and sound. Regarding the Bulls, I just want to say two things right quick. As far as the coaching, I know you guys have mentioned Tom Thibodeau bringing him back in some form of fashion, but I don't think we should entertain that just with how he treated players from a practice standpoint, running them in the ground, and we don't need to go on the pass.
Okay, I disagree that he ran guys in the ground. I'm watching the Bulls and the Magic the other night. The Bulls are up. Maybe it was the Bulls and the Heat. Bulls are up 81-56 in the playoffs with less than 10 minutes to go. 81-56, and Scottie Pippen is still playing and going north of 40 minutes. And no one ever said a word when Phil played his guys. I think that's such a tired, incorrect narrative.
I disagree because the injuries say different. So that's something we're going to agree to disagree on.
They have more injuries now and they play guys less.
Yeah, I get it, but it's just the way the injuries happened and just how his coaching style. I just don't think he's the man. And, you know, that's just my opinion. I think they should go when it comes to player development, because that's really what we need to focus on. I think someone like Jason Kidd, because how he developed Giannis really developed under Jason Kidd and other talents. And then maybe giving someone like Becky Hammon a shot over at San Antonio Spurs, that she's really working well with those guys in San Antonio. Hopefully the Bulls can focus on those two. And as far as the draft, I don't know what position they're going to get from the lottery, but we need a facilitator. We need a guy who can play on both sides of the court.
You and I are in complete agreement. They need a pure four-pass point guard. And when I say that, appreciate your call. When I say a four-pass point guard, I'm not talking about the guy who can just toss it to the open man next to him. He sees the other four guys. And whoever he can get the ball to and make a play, that's a four-pass point guard. They don't have that guy on the roster. Period. They don't. 312-332-3776. Okay, here we go. It's the four matchup against the five. Danny?
We need 10 callers. The first five, Chris will play for it. The second five, Abdallah will play
for it.
Okay,
that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are for Chris.
3, 7, 7, 6.
Okay, first five are for Chris.
Second five for
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Second five, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as Carm said yesterday, of course, Merkin wasn't paying attention, is for Abdallah. Okay? Black, I'm counting on you, kid. Get it done. Take that Abdallah and just drop him off like yesterday's newspaper. The game is coming up next.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Nine Inch Nails.
Ah, I miss.
Got it.
You beat me.
Got it. 1-0.
Right. Welcome back. This is Cap and Company. We are playing the Game Tourney of Champions. Over 8 shows in a 2-week span. Tuesday through Friday, Tuesday through Friday. ESPN 1000 Elite 8 play a trivia game to decide who is the station's trivia champion. The Elite 8 started with Carm, Yurko, Waddle, Sylvie, Cap, Black, Abdallah, and Neller. I have been the first to be eliminated. Got my ass kicked. Okay with that. I can now sit back, relax, and enjoy the Olympic Village. The games will be played in each of the day parts. The higher-ranked player gets home court advantage. I now turn it over to said commissioner of the game, Daniel Zetterman.
Gentlemen, Black and Abdallah in the same studio at the same time. What's up, guys?
Hi.
What's up, Danny? By the way, Abdallah's on his phone over here. Is that
I'm just interacting with the social media. Well, until when we figure out who goes first, then I'll throw my stuff in the middle if I have to.
Seems like you're trying to cheat there.
I would just let it be known. I am playing this game under protest.
That's a cap.
Playing this game?
That's a cap move.
Wait,
on cap
under
show.
Protest.
Why? What's the protest?
I'm playing this game under protest. You guys have been canoodling for too long.
Who?
You and Danny, I'm just saying, under protest. No,
I have no idea what the game is, what the music is.
I know Danny wants you to win because he wants, he knows Cap can't win. That's fact. But especially after, obviously, he was eliminated. But he wants the trophy for his game to be in the Cap and Company show. So because of that, I have a feeling that I'm going to get 6 sports questions. And one, who was Kristen Cavallari's friend in The Hills? And I'm going to say Lauren Conrad. And that'll be, we both
LC.
Get it.
LC's her nickname?
LC, yeah.
And when The Hills was on, I mean, that was a fantastic show.
Great
on MTV.
Great show.
Right,
Great
Cap?
Show.
Right? You're with us?
Yeah, phenomenal.
Jay Cutler may make an appearance on Waddle and Sylvie today. Not saying, just
really?
Saying. Yeah, 4 o'clock. Maybe tune in. Just saying.
Excellent.
Just saying.
Tell my cousin I said
Danny,
hello.
Hey, Danny, what's going on?
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Abdallah, tell my cousin I said hello.
I will.
Yes, they'll lead the conversation.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. So here we go. Since Chris is the 4 seed, Abdallah is the 5 seed, Chris gets home court advantage. Chris gets to choose if he'd like to go first or second in today's version of the game. I'll explain the rules once while you're both here. I have 7 questions. Each of you are allowed to pass 1 time. The tiebreaker will be time. Who does it the quickest? Who gets the most right in the quickest amount of time? Christoph, do you want to go first or second today?
You know, usually if you're playing baseball, you want to be the last team up the bat. If you're playing one-on-one in hoops, I usually would rather play defense first. I'm going to go first, though. I'm going to put the pressure on Abdallah and see if Abdallah can thrive in that situation.
All right.
Who knows? It might backfire for me. I might go for 7, and then best of luck to me.
Now, Adam, you have to go to the soundproof booth.
Where's your tech necklace?
Because every person that's working in this station right now is in this studio. We are trusting you to just be honest and not cheat.
I don't think he would. I think if he had the option to cheat or not to cheat, I think Abdallah would be honest.
All right. He is in the soundproof booth. We will begin. Chris, you and Adam Abdallah, Jeff Meller, you guys are the young guns of the station. You are our go-to guys when it comes to being a millennial. We all respect you for that. You're the future superstars of the station. So today we are going to play the young, the rich, and the famous game.
The young, the rich, and the famous game
in honor of you and Adam Abdallah.
Steve Young.
You're on the right track. Here we go. Are you ready to begin, Chris?
Rich Paul.
Thaddeus Young.
Yes.
Cap, do not help him. Well, not like you'd be any help anyways. The clock starts now. This young stud plays for the Premier League club Chelsea, and he is the youngest player to ever captain the U.S. national team in the modern era.
Christian Pulisic. C, correcto.
C, correcto. This all-world actor got his big break when he was a young pup as cast in the sitcom Growing Pains, playing Luke Brower, a homeless boy who was taken in by the Seaver family.
Oh, I know. Pass. I know it, but pass.
A contract dispute and injury kept 2016's third overall pick out of the first four games of his rookie season. Last season, in Week 8 against the Bears, the NFL's next great pass rusher recorded two sacks on your boy, Mitch.
Pass.
You can only pass once.
Oh, really? Miles Garrett? I don't know.
At 15, the great Justin Timberlake became the frontman of the boy band NSYNC. Besides Justin Timberlake, name three other members of the band NSYNC.
JC, Joey Fatone, and come on, he was just on Vanderpump Rules. He married Brittany and Jax Taylor. What's his name? Come on, Cap, what is it? Oh, no, Lance Bass.
Correcto.
Connor McDavid became the youngest captain in the history of the NHL at just 19 years old. Chris, simple question. What team does he play for?
Edmonton Oilers.
Correcto.
She rose to fame for her role as 11 in the Netflix series Stranger Things. At the age of 13, she became one of the youngest nominees in the history of the Emmy Awards.
No! I know her face. It's something Bobby Brown. Don't hit the thing. I'm coming to it. Hold on. Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes!
Good work. Yes! Adele will know that one, though.
This artist is the youngest person ever to win the four main Grammy categories. Best New Artist, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year in the same year.
Oh, yeah, it's Billie Eilish.
Correct.
The question you passed
Didn't
on.
Didn't even need the music.
This all-world actor got his big break when he was a young pup, cast as a member on the sitcom Growing Pains, playing Luke Brower, a homeless boy who was taken in by the Seaver family.
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Correct.
Kristoff, you got 6 out of 7.
Ahoy! There it is.
Take that, Abdallah.
All right.
Kristoff. All right. And not a single question
from
the 90s.
Which one did I get wrong?
Chris.
I knew it was Garrett, you said.
What was it?
He's going to get him. It's Joey Bosa.
I wasn't listening to your question.
Well, that's on you.
No, I know. Yeah. All right, this is great. 237.
Two minutes and 37 seconds.
237, sir. You have to beat 6.
All right.
So, Adam. Congratulations.
I got to say, Chris really represented the Cap and Company show well.
He did.
I don't have a rooting interest, but I will say after Cap's performance yesterday, the show was a little bit embarrassed.
BS.
Chris did. We can't hold our heads with pride.
Hold on. Carmen's in the room. Carmen, you heard the questions. Yeah. Are they easy or hard? I think it's easy.
I think it's not that hard. The only one I missed was the one.
What are you doing, Carmen?
I'm not saying it.
All he said was the one he missed is the one that Chris
missed.
All
I'm saying is the one I didn't know was the same one Chris did.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. 237.
So time's not an
issue. As somebody who works with Abdallah every day, I'm going to predict he gets 5 out of 7 here.
All right. Wow. 5 of 7.
I think I'll get 4 or 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to say he gets 4.
All right,
Adam.
Look at his face.
Are you ready to roll?
Yeah, whatever. Let's go.
Represent the Waddle and Sylvie show proudly.
No, that's Cap, we have to stare him down while he does this and try and intimidate.
You got this.
Adam, since you and Chris Black and Jeff Meller are the young guns of the station, you're our go-to millennials. You are the youngsters, the future superstars here. We are going to play the young, the rich, and the famous game. The young, the rich, and the famous
Good
game.
Good luck, man.
So are Chris you Cavalieri ready? Could be an answer.
Are you
could
ready be? To begin, Adam?
Yeah, sure.
The clock has started. This young stud plays for Premier League club Chelsea and as the youngest player ever to be selected as a U.S. national team captain. He has an enormous amount of pressure, making the U.S. competitive in international soccer.
Oh, my God. Pass. Yeah, I know. Chris got that
this
one.
This all-world actor got his big break when he was a young pup, cast as a member on the sitcom Growing Pains, playing Luke Brower, a homeless boy who was taken in by the Seaver family.
Wait, what? Say that again?
This all-world actor got his big break when he was a young pup, cast as a member on the sitcom Growing Pains, playing Luke Brower, a homeless boy who was taken in by the Seaver family.
Growing pains.
Oh, my. Oh. Yes! We're moving on the
Michael
show.
Michael J. Fox.
A contract dispute and an injury kept 2016's third overall pick out of the first four games of his rookie season. Last season, in Week 8 against the Bears, the NFL's next great pass rusher recorded two sacks against your boy Mitch.
Two sacks? I don't know.
Not that easy, huh, jackass?
No, we're going to finish the game. At 15, the great Justin...
You got one right!
At 15, the great
Justin... zero.
At 15, the great Justin Timberlake became the frontman of the boy band NSYNC. Besides Justin Timberlake, name three other members of the band NSYNC.
Lance Bass, Joey Fatone. What's that guy's name? Man.
He's Lance a guy. Bass, he's certainly a guy.
Joey Fatone and... Carter. No, not Nick Carter. No, Connor, I didn't say it. Whoa.
All right, go ahead.
I literally said not Nick Carter.
All right, go ahead.
Nick Carter is a name.
That is the other name.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Keep going. Next.
All right, you're getting that wrong. Connor McDavid became the youngest captain in the history of the NHL at just 19 years old. Simple question, Adam. What team does he play for?
A hockey question? Come on. Connor McDavid.
Please. Chris got it. Chris is going to fill in for Hanley if he calls off the hockey show.
Well, yeah.
I do have goalie thoughts. Yes.
Connor McDavid plays for the Whalers. The Whalers. Whalers.
You might get less than Cap. Now I'm rooting for you to get less than Cap.
Now it's just a game.
She rose to fame for her role as 11 in the Netflix series Stranger Things. At 13, she became one of the youngest nominees in Emmy history.
Are you serious?
You
know
you didn't
this.
Get?
No, I got it.
I don't know her name.
I talked myself into it.
All I know is that Drake kind of creeps on her.
True, he does, yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. You tell me that, ask me who creeps on her, I'll tell you.
Great.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Meller. See, correcto. I got one right. Dakota Fanning.
Wow, are you serious?
You're going to get this one. This will tie you with Cap. This artist is the youngest person ever to win the four main Grammy categories. Best New Artist, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year in the same year. So you're a
tough guy. Oh, Billie Eilish.
See.
All right,
great,
now
though.
This one, the one you passed on to beat Cap. This young stud
I can see
plays for Premier League club Chelsea and as the youngest player to ever captain the U.S. national team in the modern era. He has the enormous pressure of making the U.S. competitive
in international
soccer.
Even
I know this one, and I don't care about soccer. You're the guy that talks. If you get this wrong,
I know.
If you get this wrong, only Meller and Waddle can talk soccer between 2 and 6.
I know who it is. I'm picturing
him.
He's
a guy, right?
By the way, we're at 4 minutes on you, Meller.
No, I'm just trying to fill your segments here. Talk about a recipe Cap made again.
Wow, shots, Cap. Wow.
Let's see.
Wow.
You don't want to go there.
Wow. Oh,
I think
what
he
does
did.
That mean?
I think he already did.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Lemon chicken.
Wow.
No, huh? Carb.
No.
Because this is to beat Cap.
He's got a face.
I got a pressure. This is pressure.
He played for a German team first.
I know he did.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. Yeah. I know.
Hey,
I can't think of it.
No hints.
I know who he. I know he played for.
I beat him.
I know he played Chelsea. I know.
From the Balkans.
I know he's from the Balkans.
Hey,
he's got a great head of hair. I know.
Stop. Buzz it. He's getting too many hits.
Buzz it. Thank you. Why can't he do that?
First of all. First of all. I want to apologize to Jeff Meller. Adam Abdallah getting the 5 seed was the biggest oversight by the committee, and I apologize to everybody involved. Well done, Chris Black.
Yeah.
You did phenomenal representing our show well.
As I said, I'm playing this game under protest.
We might do a separate game next week, Cap versus Abdallah.
By the way, Connor McDavid.
He got none right, right? So, Cap, beat him.
I got Billy.
He got Billy Eilish.
So you and, okay.
They tied.
It ain't that freaking easy, tough guy. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll come right back. Don't forget Carmen Yurko at noon. Be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
I just tweeted. And by the way, Christoph, very proud of you. You were outstanding.
Well, Cap, you know, I'm not going to just rest on what we just accomplished there. What I'm really looking at is next week against Yurko. I've got my sights set. We got to get back to the film. We got to study a little. We got to get things ready to go and, you know, get back to work.
All you have to say is, I'm on to Yurko.
On to Yurko next week.
Guys, once again, I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart to Jeff Meller. He was slighted getting the sixth seed. Yeah. I thought the sexy matchup of Abdallah Bleck was what we all wanted to see. Obviously, I was wrong there. I do apologize. Once again, I'd also like to say at this point going forward, Adam Abdallah can no longer be called an expert at soccer or pop culture. He only got one of the pop culture questions correct. The soccer one, which he talks about the most on the Waddle and Sylvie show, he didn't even get that correct. So unfortunately, we must besmirch his reputation.
So here's what I tweeted. Congratulations to at Chris Black, who just destroyed at Adam A. Abdallah in the ESPN 1000 Tournament of Champions. I know I'm lousy at trivia, and yes, I got crushed by number one seed at Yurko 64, but Abdallah actually thinks he knows pop culture. He got one right. I loved it. Loved it. He got eviscerated. Like, I knew I was going to. Anyway.
You know, the only thing I would say to Danny and to you, Cap, are we ruling out that Abdallah just pulled a bit? Are we sure he wasn't pulling a bit to just be bad on purpose?
No.
Are you
no,
sure?
No.
He's very into bits. He is into radio bits. No. And are we sure?
The only bit that came out of there is that he whizzed right down his leg.
Are we sure?
I think Chris is onto something. There's no way he doesn't know who Millie Bobby Brown is.
Or Christian Pulisic.
And I'm going to tell you one other thing. You can bag on hockey and he can pretend all he wants. Yeah. Everybody knows Connor McDavid plays for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think Chris is onto something.
Are we sure?
I think he threw it as a bit.
Listen, this is insulting to the game that you would give him credit for purposely sandbagging like that.
Yeah. No. But listen, that's this is my awful radio partner. We did shows together in college at Columbia back 15 years ago.
No.
I know him. This is a better bit in his head than a fair competition between the two of us. I'm just saying, are we sure he didn't throw the bit?
Yes, we're sure.
All right.
Very disappointing that you guys would even bring that up.
I'm bringing it up because I'm surprised I completely handed it to him.
He just completely crapped the bed. That's so great. Loved it. 312-332-3776. Carm, name the wealthiest owner of any sports franchise in the world. Forbes just released this.
The wealthiest? So this is not the most valuable franchise. This is the owner?
The owner of the team, his personal wealth.
I'll say Steve Ballmer.
Steve Ballmer, $52.7 billion.
That's it? $52 billion?
That's it.
Not bad, huh?
Number two you will never get. That would be...
Hold on. Number two I'll never get, really?
Never.
Is it like a Russian oligarch or something?
No, he's from India.
Oh, is it the guy that owns the Kings?
No.
No?
Mukesh Ambani of the Mumbai Indians.
What are the Mumbai Indians?
Must be a cricket team. He's worth $36.8 billion.
Wow, yeah, I never would have gotten that.
And then is it Stade Rennais FC football club?
I don't know.
Francois Pignon and family are worth $27
billion. Yes, Francois.
The owner of the New York Red Bulls and Red Bull Racing is fourth. Dietrich Mateschitz.
Yes.
At
be careful.
16. Yes, I said Mateschitz is at $16.5 billion.
You say be careful and then he slows it down.
Number five is Hasso Plattner and family. What American team does he own?
Hasso Plattner?
Worth $12.4 billion, made it all in software.
Hasso Plattner owns a North American sports franchise?
Yeah.
Which league?
He owns in the NHL.
Oh, boy, I'd be taking a guess. I'll say the Sharks.
Bingo!
Well, that's only because you said he made it in software. So yeah. I'm just guessing
the Sharks.
Silicon Valley, yeah.
Six is David Tepper, owner of the Panthers.
Wow, David Tepper is six, huh?
$12 billion.
Holy cow.
Seven is Roman Abramovich of the Chelsea FC club.
Ibrahimovic, I think is how you say it.
Ibrahimovic?
Yeah, I think so.
It's Abraham,
I think
Abramovich.
It's, oh, yeah, that's what it is. Abramovich. I think you're right. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. Number eight is Philip Anschutz.
Yep, Philip Anschutz.
Owner of the Kings and the LA Galaxy.
He's the, isn't he like, what did he own? Not AIG.
He made
what
his,
did Anschutz own?
I don't know.
He made his billions.
Just various investments, it says.
Oh, okay. I thought he owned something big. Like,
and then Stan Kroenke tied at number nine. He owns the Rams, Arsenal, and the Denver Nuggets, and the Avalanche, and the Colorado Rapids.
That's crazy.
Tied with Joseph Tsai, who owns the Brooklyn Nets. They are both worth $10 billion.
Mm.
How about that? 312-332-3776. We will be back to Crosstalk with Carmen Yerk in 2 minutes.